Hello.
Hello.
Let people show up. Might be a quiet meeting today. If not, we can always cancel. It's also right before the holidays in the US, so I'm not sure how many
Oh,
people are have taken off early.
you are winding down and getting into family mode instead of work mode.
I've been in family mode for the past four about 2 months. We've been cleaning up my parents' estate. Oh, but
Oh,
wait.
okay.
That's not been fun. I think this year for this Thanksgiving is next week. My sister's actually going to be in, I think, Finland.
Finland, okay.
Is there a Christmas village in Finland?
True. Yes, it's a big tourist attraction.
That's where she's going then.
Yeah,
So
okay.
they're leaving next week for that. So me and my spouse are probably going to go to a friend of ours. She has a massive get together, which is friends and family, and it's a dish to pass. So everyone just brings up something over, and
Sounds like a nice treat.
it is, and
Yeah.
it makes it easier on everyone because no one actually has to cook everything. Everyone just makes one thing, and
Exactly. It's then if you, maybe some people who likes to cook for 20 people and feel good about it, but me, I get super stressed. I can arrangement where or get together where everybody is responsible and help out, and then it's a joy for everyone.
Exactly. I mean, I don't mind. I actually like, so my mom had a catering business for years, so I
Okay.
actually used to help cook for upwards of 200 or 300 people at a time. So it's
Okay. Yeah.
but I don't mind. In fact, my spouse is kind of getting my case because I've been adding more pieces to my china collection with the whole idea of that when we move, we can start entertaining and having groups of people over for the holidays and different occasions. And he's like, "But you don't cook." I'm like, "Because I don't have a reason to." Oh, I want a reason for it. Anyways, our house here is not set up for entertaining.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Just chit-chatting about the holidays and random stuff.
So normally for us in Europe, then the Thanksgiving week is also kind of a nice, calm work week because there's not so many meetings and you can finally, have 3 to 4 hours in a row where you can do more heavy lifting or more complicated writing or all these things. It is difficult to do when you have 15 minutes back to you and then you think, oh yeah,
Exactly.
I need to do this and that.
All those crazy Americans are gone for a while.
Things just quiet down a little bit. Oh, no, it's also my colleagues. So it's not just Folio.
It's kind of settled down. So I'll give everyone a few more minutes, but I think I don't see anyone else bouncing in. So welcome everybody to today's implementers meeting. We actually don't have a huge amount on the agenda for today. First bit is a little bit of housekeeping. If there was any ideas that you wanted to add to the next year's topic calendar, please feel free to do so. I will drop the link in there into chat for you. Actually, it's extending this year's topic calendar, and we'll be using it for next year. But if you have any ideas or anything you'd like to chat about, please go for it. Yes, Charlotte.
So I wonder if so, and I think we have talked about it. If the implementer SIG would like to see the new for user location functionality developed by NLS and IndexData, and I was actually this circulation of equipment, if that for some of you would be the solution. I don't know all use cases you have for circulation of equipment, but if it is material you only want to use at the location, then this new functionality definitely could be expanded to support that use case as well.
Charlotte, can you? I mean, you may not be the authority on this, but can you give me a quick run through on the difference between a location, in this, for this kind of function and a service desk? Because,
So for this new work, then each of the service points can be defined as a desk where you will only check out, check in materials that is not intended to leave the building. So the you can say the flag is set on the service point. Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. What we can do is we have a meeting every other Tuesday. Myself, Tara, and Darcy can reach out to you and possibly set up a time slash demo if you'd like
Okay.
to go over that. Today, I'm worried it'll be way too short notice, but I'd like to. I know the RA SIG demo brought a
Yeah, we did
massive work,
yesterday.
so
Yes, yes, yes.
yeah,
And of
so
course, we could also just share the recording from that, but it might be relevant to, do a demo and then discuss your use cases as well.
yes, yeah, I agree. I think that would be probably a lot more helpful. As because this group has a tendency to be more varied, so their ideas of how the functionality could be used might be a lot more varied than people in RA. But yeah, I'm saying that, and Susan's sitting here, so she'll probably ask me to do something later on to get even.
Okay.
Possibly.
A Tuesday works fine for me, and I can see if I can if Kaiser or Anna will be available as well from NLS.
That'd be great. Thank you. I think this is actually probably our this is our last meeting for this year. So it'd be in 2026, which is feels very strange to say that, because I still feel like it's January, February, 2025. So, but yep, we can definitely get you on the calendar. Thank you. I appreciate it. A little bit more of housekeeping. Is there anything I dropped, as I said, I dropped a topic calendar in there. So if you have any ideas, please feel free. I wish it was 2021. Please feel free to add to it. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought there. If the notes for the last meeting has been posted, which is the RFID chat, which was actually really cool. So if you weren't here for that meeting, please go back and watch the demo for that. That is definitely some very interesting work that was being done, and it's going in an interesting direction. Is there anything anyone would like to add for last meeting or any other housekeeping notes you want to toss out there quick before we proceed? No. Let's see. So today's main topic is circulation and handling equipment in Folio. So this was is meant to be more of an open discussion of people who are doing equipment, specialized equipment and folio. It could be anywhere from a stapler up to laptops, up to video cameras, for people to kind of share what they're currently doing and ideas of how Folio could better support what they're doing. I can describe what Cornell is doing, but I have a tendency to always do that. So if somebody would like to take the stage and kind of describe what you're doing at your current institution, I would greatly appreciate it.
Well, I'll mostly be talking third hand because I know what our libraries tell us, but not the first hand experience because we actually manage consortium and libraries directly. Most of the equipment management is really just reserve items like laptops are checked out for a limited period of time. They also check out iPads, power banks, tablets, and not very much in the way of computer, not very much in the way of like AV equipment or anything of that nature. I could see a potential. They might have like a recording studio. They could rent out access to the room, like a reading room, and the equipment to use in that room. That might also apply for some of our religious schools where they have some very specialized collections. And rather than somebody going in and using like the archives, the books room, they could reserve material in that room on a shelf for them to access. They have exclusive access to that material for a short time. But for the most part, it's just basically reserve items plus what they're lending out.
I'm sorry, Kate.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and contribute since I might have to duck out early.
Sure.
Again, like I'm speaking kind of peripherally on this because I am definitely not a cataloger or an access services person, but this has been a bit of a big issue because we actually at PCOM have a pretty heavy equipment circulation. And it's a bit varied because we it ranges from the usual like charging cables and things like that to watches, which are needed by our med students for doing pulse rates and all that. Plus, also we have medical models, anatomy models. You want to know what a brain looks like? You need a skeleton. We can provide that. And so, previously in Voyager, we just put all the equipment in one giant like bag, and that caused a bit of a mess because Folio actually allows a lot more. So now we have an instance for each of our three campuses, and then a bunch of separate holdings. But it ends up like being really bad in viewfind because if you do a search for equipment, you get this super giant list of every piece of equipment we have, which is just there. And it's one of those like we recognize that it's not like designed for that, but it's a really tricky thing where it's like going, oh, we need to have a separate I'm just looking at it right now. It's like we have a holding for Android chargers, we have one for Apple chargers, we have a USB-C charger, all these fun things in here, and it just causes a lot of headaches there, and we're still trying to figure out on how we want to handle it, how we want to encourage discovery. What we're thinking of doing is actually just completely hiding the equipment results in our viewfind and making a libguide that will just be sort of a generic claim on thing. But it'd be nice to eventually be able to have like real time, like availability and all that, because we don't necessarily have like 10 brain models or things like that. So, in fact, we really only have two skeletons and they're usually floating around the library. So,
I'm just pitching skeletons sitting in different areas of the library at random times.
oh, and we dress them up at times for the holidays or just the season, stick a scarf on them. They have names and they actually. One of them still has it, has an actual PCOM ID card, so.
Cool. Susan?
Hello, my camera is broken, so you have to see my head from the side. So at five colleges, we have five colleges. We're all in one bucket, so we have a bit of a a mixed bag here, and different institutions circulate equipment differently. So we have at Amherst, I can speak to ours because we have quite a bit of variety. We have a mostly chargers and various things we circulate out of our front desk, but then we also have our IT department circulates their equipment from out using Folio, and that just they used to be part of the library, so it's sort of evolved here. Three systems later, we still have it in Folio. So we sort of have third party stuff going on as well. The way we've decided to implement it in Folio is through through loan type. So we have, just like we have reserve loan periods, we have equipment loan periods, and those are distinct using the loan type. And that's mostly because they're billed differently. So all of our equipment has an equipment loan type, and it might be 1 hour, 4 hour, 1 day, 3 day, or 1 week. Those, I think, are our varieties. They're all set to actual cost, which now we can do actual cost, which is exciting. And so all of it now is comes up when it gets billed. They're also on separate notice policies and separate age to loss policies. So all of that. We do not do overdue charges for pretty much anything. The one exception is there are a couple of five colleges who do overdue for laptops. But we have very, very limited. We have one overdue fine policy, and that's for fined equipment. And it falls into one bucket, so it's pretty limited. So we can't really speak to the overdue part of it. But it works quite well. We suppress everything from the public catalog, as somebody mentioned in the chat. And we do circulate all manner of things. I mean, we circulate, you know, it's winter. We now circulate therapy lights and whatever. Like, we have so many things. Culture City bags for neurodivergent folks. We have, you know, we have everything under the sun, but no sewing machines yet. But that was just out on the circulation list. People were asking about circulating sewing machines. I'm just like, no, I already said no to games. Can we say no to sewing machines? But we found it works reasonably well. Because we have our own notice policies, because we distinguish everything very specifically, we can label things on the notice templates accordingly, because we put the title in the same place, and we don't use author for equipment. Like, we don't throw that into the notice. Like, I just think having it separated out as its own line loan type has made it quite simplified for us. So, happy to answer any questions if people have specifics.
That's Starsick.
Yeah, so I don't know that we do anything too different. And I don't know that if we do it very well, but we ended up making, I think it's either three or five different tiers of material type for all these different kinds of equipment so that we could bill it at different levels. So accessories one is like for a cable or something, and it's, I don't know how much do cables cost? I don't know, $20, and all the way up to laptops, which are probably 1,000 or something. And in my mind, it makes the circles really complicated to have all these different lines for the different material types and the different libraries and all that. So I wonder if loan types or if actual cost maybe would help us if we do equipment with actual costs. So that's an interesting idea. And we suppress almost everything. We have like umbrellas as well as, you know, all this electronic equipment. So the libraries don't actually want to tell people we have umbrellas. We just want the people who are brave and ask at the desk to get them, I guess. So we don't have any of that in the discovery environment.
Darcy, I will say that we, you know, the actual cost is a thing. It is not, there's overhead to it, though. I mean, there's trade-offs, right? So doing the actual cost, somebody has to process the actual cost. Everything that gets billed, they have to, in during or ages to loss during a day, they have to then apply a cost to it. So it's not automated yet. Like, if there were a cost that we could put which I know we is there's a ticket out there for it. If there could be a cost in the item record, that could be applied automatically, that would make it easier. But it's still, it's better than it was before we had actual cost, but it's still complicated. So it's not necessarily a panacea. It does make our circ rules much cleaner because we just have one, it's just actual cost. We have one equipment. We don't have to go crazy with all the different levels. But we also couldn't agree in the five colleges, even if we wanted to. So we just have equipment.
I can kind of share what we're doing. We've been all over the place, and before Voyager, after Voyager, in Folio, outside of Folio, we have circulated, and I say have because it keeps changing, everything from rooms to you're in trouble, Susan, because we've actually circulated sewing machines. they're kind of a pain. If you have one person, which was me, who knows what to look for when they come back, you're fine. But if you don't, everyone's like, "Oh yeah, it's fine." I'm like, well, it's missing the presser foot, so it's not usable anymore. But yeah, we've done sewing machines, laptops, power banks, charging cables. We've had, as I said, we've had different rooms. We have some libraries that do circulate games, one that circulates pickleball rackets, and you name it, they throw it in there, including staplers. I have no idea why, but there's a few units that circulate staplers. For the majority of all of that stuff, it is suppressed from our discovery layer because of two reasons. One, we don't want it all in there, and all of them are instance records. None of these records are based on Mark. And Blacklight, our Blacklight instance right now cannot display non-Mark records. It indexes them, but it can't display them. So that's conversations we've actually had about maybe opening up our discovery layer, that some of these things are visible through there, like the long-term laptops, that sort of thing. We've had separate pages that actually had the equipment listed, where people could go to. At one point in time, Mann Library and Olin Library, which were the two biggest units, were also circulating. They're circulating cameras and a bunch of other things. They were actually using LibCal for organization through SpringShare, and we were allowing patrons to book, actually even rooms too. We were allowing patrons to book specific time slots and then checking those items out through Folio. So we were managing the equipment in two separate systems. But yeah, we've been all over the place. Darcy's like, no. Oh, we
Yeah,
got
I'm
rid of
not
it.
passing that info on, no.
Well, the one thing I can say about that is patrons liked it because they could book a camera like 3 weeks out for a specific project that they had in mind, which is great. The problems were multiple. We had in each unit. We had an equipment coordinator that their entire job was to ensure that everything was in sync between the two systems, checking and cleaning equipment. We actually had specialized students that when equipment came back, they were responsible for cleaning, checking, and making sure everything was in the bag. So that way it was consistently being done. Otherwise, oh, cool, I'm getting a phone call asking me about finishing my loan information. I've been getting two a day. So there was a lot of overhead on that side. On the patron side, it also caused issues because we would get a patron that would reserve something. If the patron before them returned it late, it was not available when they got at the desk. So it would actually start confrontations with them because they would be upset because they placed a reserve on something, it's not there, and we have no equipment to replace that one that's checked out with. Which then started other conversations among staff is like, oh, we should hold some back just in case, or we should buy extra. And it just became too much of a hassle. So we just got rid of it completely. Even with the rooms, it became first come, first serve. I think the only place where we actually have schedulable room spaces now is staff based, and maybe the lactation room. We have a few of those across campus. Those are set up via listserv. So we actually know when. Different mothers might be coming in to use them. So yeah, those are probably the only odd ones. But I'm sorry, Mara, you had your hand up, or was that?
Yeah, I was going to get in line to talk about how we circ circular, non-bibliographic items. Because, of course, we have a tech bar that's part of the campus IT department, and they don't have any other, basically, they've just, for the past 15 years, they've been piggybacking on our circ systems in order to, inventory and keep track and circulate items. We don't have anything that is as much fun as umbrellas to circulate, because basically pardon me, the what you do if you discover it's raining is that you walk over to the lost and found and say, "I've lost my umbrella. It's black." And if they say, "Well, we don't have one that's black," they say, "Well, maybe I brought my University of Chicago umbrella." And but yeah, typically that's how we've handled umbrellas. The when it comes to loaning out, all of the stuff, the chargers, the laptops, the iPads, what that means is, they have their own service desk. The tech bar has its own service desk. It has its own, users who can only log into that service desk. Nobody else gets access to that service desk, so they're, sort of siloed. And we just have, I just looked, we have four overdue policies and a metric ton of circ rules for the different kinds of items that the tech bar circulates. And so it is, everything is very, very carefully laid out in the circulation rules. So if anything changes, we'd have to, it might take a bit of doing to make certain that everything lines up again. I've also just looked, we also like, I'm sure that we all do this where we circulate video games. And when that was originally set up, we would have the disc, and then this brand new happening Logan Center would have the platforms on which you could play them, because they had the big screens and the controllers. And so we wouldn't have the hardware to play the games. We would just have the games. And so we would have, like, you would check it out for, a couple of days. Presumably you would take it to the other center where they would have the archival platform of the game that was kept in working condition and that sort of thing. And they would do it. We also circulate a few, like, puzzles for recreation. They're very popular during exams. But as far as I know, they're not terribly, we don't keep, like, a ton of, we don't like, we don't really follow the puzzles or the, the silly, well, we don't use silly string, but like a thing that allows you to play Cat's Cradle or something, something that just lets you, blow off a little steam for a little while and just play. We don't track those very carefully. They typically don't leave the library either. So that's what I got.
All right. Thank you. Olga?
We also quite kind of, it's very similar to what some of you mentioned. We use a lot of equipment. 80% of our circulation last year was equipment. We do also have a variety, and we use loan types, and both, not only loan types, but also material types. But the loan rules, are based on loan types. Just three options: 5 hour, that's for chargers; 24 hours for almost everything; and 1 week for wellness equipment like therapy light. I'm Kind of surprised that so many of you are not showing it up in your discovery systems. We do. We made that decision like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. Originally, we also didn't show them equipment items, but then we decided that we want our patrons to see it. We actually, before we switched to Folio, when we were still on Sierra, we had a widget on the library website that would show you how many laptops are available. It was just like a counter, 25 laptops available or 0 laptops available for both campus. And that was a very popular widget because laptops were super popular before COVID. It somehow changed after COVID. Now we always have laptops available, though we do have a lot of them. I'm also a bit surprised that no one is using Booking, or no one mentioned that they use Booking other than you, Thomas. We don't allow to book something like calculator. I want to borrow a calculator, just come and borrow it. But we do bookings for events, things like that. Or if you know that you are going to do presentation and you need a laptop and you want to make sure that it's available, then you can book it. But we ask for at least 2 days in advance. And I did hope that this new room booking or whatever it's called feature would help us with bookings. But no, it doesn't allow you to book something on a specific date and time because that's what's booking about. You want it on January 21st at 3 p.m. And that's it. You don't want it before, you don't want it after. Also, Thomas, you mentioned that you had issues with people not returning equipment on time. We always put in some time in between bookings if it is back to back, kind of like one person returns it and the next one wants it. We always put like a day in a between, kind of. We let them know it's not available if they want it day earlier. Even though the item is back, we put in that extra time so we kind of almost sure that the item is back. And we didn't seem to have any problems with that. Well, maybe sometimes, but no big issues. So yeah, that's our pain. Right now we are using libcal from you all know from whom SpringShare. But it's a separate system and they are not connected. So people have to check before they check out something. They have to check in libcal if this item for any chance booked. And that's such a headache. So what we never allowed people to book items online. They always had to come to us to book something. So we don't care about it being fancy. We just need an option in Folio to place that request that has time in it. So kind of a different type of request that would allow you to say when you want it, not just whenever it's available, but when you want it. And that's real pain for us. But yeah, it's interesting to hear from so many of you that you are also circulating equipment, and it seems to be it not just us.
So, anyone else would you like to share how you're doing equipment or?
I put all of my notes in chat,
Yes,
but I
thank
can talk about it. And again, I'm an accountant here, so I don't have
you.
all of the skinny on exactly what is happening. This is stuff that I've just kind of picked up on being here and knowing, kind of what our library offers. But if you guys had more technical questions, I'm sure I could get the answers.
Appreciate it. So I guess the other question is then too is I get how specifically are oh yes, Jesse.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't have the courage to just speak up. At SCU, I think our situation is very similar to a lot of things that have been described, with the exception of we actually have several departments in the Learning Commons that aren't under the auspices of the library that do our equipment lending. So the circulation desk handles chargers, calculators, compasses, that kind of thing. But for the long-term booking of equipment, we handed it off to our media services department primarily because we did not have a good way of managing things like booking. So that we don't really have an insight into laptops or cameras or any of the other things that are being lent here, because they're being handled entirely by other departments.
Thank you. Yeah, we have it's kind of a strange one. We actually have our IT department does, and I don't mean the library IT department, I mean Cornell's major IT department also does equipment lending too to faculty and graduate students. And sometimes people get confused because they will book something with them and then come to the library and like, oh, I booked blah, 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 blah. I'm like, we don't even have that. I don't know what you're talking about. So, I guess the other question is too is I unfortunately was stuck as being the equipment coordinator at MAN for a long time, so I had to deal with a lot of this. Is I'd be interested as well as a general, more general question of what could be added to Folio to help facilitate these equipment loans and. It could be everything, a really complex thing like adding actually a scheduling system within Folio that allows scheduled requests. Or it could be, let's say, maybe even a different inventory type item that allows for equipment. I know one thing that I kind of struggled with was where to keep serial numbers of everything because we kept all the serial numbers and purchase dates and all that information around our cameras. Actually, that was one thing that our students had to check when it came back to ensure that the serial numbers matched within the instance record to the cameras. I know I've heard some places use systems like Spiceworks to handle equipment replacement. Would that be something that would be integrated with Folio? Are I mean not integrated Folio, but something that could be added to Folio. Are people happy with external systems? So I was also kind of curious about that, how people are actually managing the equipment life cycles too. I'm not sure if anyone. But we're not using Mark, so. Good suggestion, but yeah. None of our equipment stuff was Mark. And that's actually was something too that was interesting. When we first started doing equipment, it was in Voyager. We actually, and those records were Mark based. We actually had to sit down with our head of technical services and come up with a very specific Mark record for equipment so that when they ran their automated processes and the reports, it wasn't flagging them as issues because it was going to drive them nuts. So that was something else that we had to jump through. Folio has made that a little bit easier because those are now instance records and they kind of don't care what happens with instance records. So they just kind of ignore them. But yeah, that was kind of the other part of the conversation is what can change or what could change in Folio to help facilitate the lending of this of these items better or make it easier for people.
Can't you convince your catalogers to kind of that equipment is different and it can have a Mark record, but it's just because we did convince ours. They don't mind. It's all cataloged for years for us.
We did The head of LTS has now changed, so she's a little bit more lenient. At the time when we originally went this with Voyager, is we were re-exporting out all of our records out to OCLC, and that was the big one, is they didn't want any of these equipment records to end up in OCLC because it would cause and make them have to do a cleanup of
And we
things.
do the same, but we just don't export equipment. We and some other records, kind of the local ones that we don't care to export. That's
Yeah,
just
and
excuses.
well, yeah, and they did come up with a template that we had to use after working back and forth, but it did take about a good month to for the person who was setting up the equipment pilot program, working with LTS to set up that base bib record, so that all their needs were met and then all our needs were met. And there were some very strict cataloging rules that we had to follow when we were adding new items. But that was, as I said, that was in Voyager. Now that we're in Folio, they're all instance records, so there is no MARC records anymore for them. So tech services just kind of ignores it completely. They're just like, whatever, it's instance. You can do whatever you want as long as we don't look at it, we don't see it, we don't care. It's your issue. Yes, Charlotte. Oh, you're muted.
So maybe I can mention that. So it's not difficult to add new item material types. That is something you can do local editions on. So if you want to have specific item material types for which is useful for the kind of equipment you have, there is coming some new work, and I believe it will be mostly done for Trillium. Where you can add, custom fields for inventory records, so both instance holdings and item, and that might be where you then could store your serials number, etc. And then, I of course have a little cataloger cap on my head, so I will say for equipment. If the MARC record way is not fitting that well, then maybe MARC is not intended for that kind of material. So I fully so th that was the whole idea also with inventory that you could have both so your collection could co exist with instance record with source ID equal mark and instance record source equal source ID equal folio with no underlying mark. So
Right. Cool. As I said, that is interesting to know that those custom fields are coming into inventory. They would be really helpful for storing things like serial numbers and purchase dates and even replacement cost information. Yes, Susan.
So the downside of the folio, the just instance records with no mark, is that they and the surfacing and discovery, there is a downside to that because we also can't surface ours. We have a mix as well, Tom, because we migrated ours from Aleph and those are in MARC, and the ones that are new since are just inventory records. So it's a bit of a hodgepodge. That when there are billing issue, like when things are billed, they don't show up well in EDS, like or at all. You get like gaps because if it doesn't have a full MARC record, it doesn't show up in EDS. And so when something is billed, it's sort of this, you see the bill, but you don't see the details of what it was, if it was a charger or something like that.
That's interesting.
Maybe I
Charlotte?
can, but then I think it's something you should push for having EDS to solve. So it's and so hopefully it will come.
Yeah, it's not inherent to Folio at all. Because I know that is how Folio is designed to work with all kinds of source types.
We don't have that issue per se. I mean, but we're using Blacklight, and the My Account functionality is actually, I think it's just pulling the the Edge Patron module and pulling the fine fee data from there. So the title and that's in there. So I'm actually surprised that EDS isn't doing the same and it's pulling the MARC record. But that is interesting. Is there any other things that people feel that Folio could possibly do to help with the circulation of equipment? Oh, okay, go ahead.
You probably already have it on, as I already mentioned it, but for us, it's actual costs and for them to be real kind of automatic and booking ability to place a request that has time in it, date and time in it. We don't need the full module with. We use for room bookings, for example, we use the open source software called MRBS. And because like the rooms are open, you don't like we don't have keys that people need to circulate. So first come, oh, not first come, first serve. They just use the app and book the rooms. So that works fine. But for equipment, we need actual costs and automatic actual costs and booking. We do use actual costs now for equipment. It works fine because the majority of items do come back on time because we do have fines for equipment. So students want to return them. It's dollar an hour. But if costs were automatic, that would be way better. And booking. Sorry, I keep repeating it.
No, it's okay. It's okay. And actual cost, I know, is also being like Spokane uses actual costs very intensely. And the number of fee fines that they actually have is insane. So, and I know a lot of other libraries are using actual costs for their regular collections. So it is something that I know is on my radar. As well as I think metadata management, because it's kind of weird. It's like the chicken and the egg. It's like we can't do the automatic actual cost work without a field and inventory. So it's like that part has to be done first, unfortunately. But it is out there and hopefully it'll get picked up soon. The other one I'm kind of curious is like, do people have issues with people returning items to the wrong circ desk? I know this was actually an issue in Voyager. If you went to return something that wasn't at its home circ desk, it would come up with an error message, basically. You could override that, and that's how we were doing ambiguous returns at the time. But is that an issue people are having where someone will drop something off at one of the other libraries and then they have to transport it to the other one because the patron walked out the door? Where it would be nice for Folio to have a pop-up that said, this is not allowed to be returned here.
Well, when you check in something at the other campus, you get a message that it's put in transit. That's kind of your clue, I'm guessing. So you're suggesting that it would just say no? Not
Yeah,
sure.
that'd be more of a block.
We allow to return equipment only at the campus where they borrowed it, and we accept it if they return at the other campus, but we tell them we will put it with our regular delivery because we have it every day running every day. But we will check it in only when it arrives at the other campus. So you will, in process, you will be accumulating fines. So people don't want that. So we deal with it through fines, I guess.
Your fines are a lot more reasonable. Ours was $1 a minute.
Oh,
It
that's
still didn't
cruel.
deter people. It still didn't deter people because they knew they would max out. I think for like video cameras, it would max out at $60 or $120. So they would just let it max out after 2 hours and then keep the camera for a week or two. But yeah, those were the fun ones. Is there, and I noticed some people said about widgets that they had from previous systems on their other pages in that. I don't know if this is something Twilio could do, but would it be helpful for there to be an API endpoint that showed summary information for an instance record that are a holding record that you could give it a holding ID and it would say of the items on this holding record, X number are available. And next number is charged out. Are they all charged out? This is when the next one will be due. Things of that nature.
Maybe we, in addition to our regular EDS, we also have a separate page on the website that just lists different types of equipment. And under each type of equipment, you can see a lot of items. And then there are buttons there that can take you back to EDS where they can see if it's available or not. So it potentially, it could have, if that's another product from EBSCO. We use for the website, we use stacks, and that's why we are able to create those easily, create those equipment pages with pictures. That's the advantage versus Discovery, because there is no picture in Discovery. On the website, we can put a picture of how this adapter looks like. Of course, we don't put it for all of them, especially small ones, but for bigger ones, we do put the pictures, and that helps patrons. So maybe if Stacks will be able to use that API, they could develop that functionality and put the availability right there.
Actually, that's just other things that popped in my head. Oh, cool. If anyone needs a personal loan for like $60,000, just let me know. They keep calling me. I keep messing with. I probably should know. Then that's probably why they keep calling me. I'll mess with them every once in a while. I'm like, oh, sure. What's your federal ID number? And you ask them that 5, 6 times, and they try to answer. It's like, no, what's your bank's federal ID number? And they finally hang up on you. I figured after doing that like 6 times, they would give up, but nope, apparently they don't. But yeah, I have multiple personal loans for $60,000. All I have to do is give them my social security number, income, home address, and all that fun stuff, and I can get the
Right.
money tomorrow.
Yes, you see, since you've engaged with the spammer or the scammer, you're on the list of legit phone number where someone answers the phone.
Yeah. The
So
only plus side is because I have Google, I report them all as spam and phishing. So it
good.
goes back to a larger Google pool, so it blocks it for other people. So I see that as the plus side of it. It's like I know these are spam calls, so I can say for sure, yes, block this for other people.
Right.
But anyway, sorry, I got sidetracked. This actually brings up interesting thing that we had to do too. We use libcow for this. Is libcow had a really nice interface that you could show the equipment and you could actually link out to manuals and images in that. I wonder if the new custom fields functionality and inventory could be used for the same thing. I don't think you won't be able to store the manuals or images within Folio, but you could link to external resources that might be then be able to reference by outside systems. So that might be a interesting thing as well. I do realize though that the problem with that is then if you're into a system like EDS locate where it's kind of like closed source or not, you find our black light, you can't tinker with the code in the back end to take advantage of it. But
We actually used A56 to put the links for some equipment, links to manual. The problem that they don't show up very nicely in EDS, especially in the new one. I mean, you still can tell that, but they, what it is, but they show up under that button, online access, which is so
right.
annoying.
That is an interesting way, though, of linking to outside pieces. Got to keep that in mind. I still, the other one, I'll throw this out there, is we were toying with the idea. We currently don't have title level requests on, and we were toying with the idea of turning it on specifically for laptops, which sounds weird. But right now, we have pools of laptops all over the campus. So one library owns 20, another library owns 10, and one library has 4 or 5. What the goal was to bring all the laptops together under a central pool so they would no longer have a home location, turn on title level requesting, and then expose that for laptops through the catalog. And then people would just enter a massive wait queue for that laptop or for a laptop. And as they become available, they get shipped to the individual units where people want to pick them up. Somebody gets done, they drop off another one and says, oh, okay, this person over here needs one. And it just picks up the next request in the queue and keeps going. Granted, we have like 200 or 300 laptops. So it'll be really interesting test of title level requesting because we would have probably almost 1,000 requests in there at some given point. But the big holdback for us for doing that is that we can't restrict what items title level requests can be placed on. So we would like to have them on laptops and some equipment, but we wouldn't want them to be able to place a title level request, let's say on regular monographs. So until that was built into CERC rules or something of that nature, we're not sure if we could turn it on. They want to revisit it again. But that was something else that came up. But I don't know if anyone else had anything of that nature that they were thinking about or not. We're also about 5 minutes too, so.
We use title level requests for everything. Obviously, you cannot control that, but we are happy with that because we do want it for everything. And it does work for equipment as well, title level requests.
Maybe I'll try to talk them into it a little bit. That's the other problem is turning on and off title level requests. You have to have every key. So it's a major undertaking for us if we want to turn it on because we have so many requests already in our queues. And I'm not sure where on the roadmap that is for that switch to be more easily changed. Okay, well, we are at 4 minutes, so unless if there's anything else, I'm gonna say we can call it a day. I think this is a very productive discussion, and the planning committee will work with Charlotte to have her and hopefully some people from the National Library of Sweden to come in to demo the new functionality that they were working on. I think that it will be an interesting idea for equipment, but also maybe other things like restricted use items or special collections and that. So please keep an eye open for that. But thank you, everybody. I appreciate you being here today and have a good weekend. And if I don't see you in another meeting.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
And take care,
Happy
everyone.
Thanksgiving.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.